Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
What is up, friendos, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's Bogman, it's Welsh, and Jeff Erickson. Yes, RotoWire's own Jeff Erickson is going to be joining us here in a little bit, not on one of his live streams. We talk about it like the very end of the show, but like, I'll just be like doing stuff, and then all of a sudden, Jeff Erickson, they do their live RotoWire show, just pops up, and I love hearing Jeff, love talking to Jeff, and love playing poker with Jeff when we get a chance. That's what you and I have gotten to do.
Genuinely nice human being. Just great guy. I know if I hit up Jeff to come on the show, he's never said no. He's always been made himself available for us. He's a great dude.
Yeah. Those guys that have that record going. Not everybody has that, but the record going of always saying yes.
And we don't even have that record going everywhere. So, you know, it's just it great dude. Love Jeff.
I gotta be honest with you. Dare I say this, though? I don't think I've said no to anything.
Anything ever?
I mean, I'm not sure. I shouldn't say ever. There might have been something. You know what? There's one thing I just thought of. I'm like a 98%. Like, yeah.
I'm definitely much. I say yes to pretty much everything.
I'm dangerous about saying this because then they're going to be someone's like, hey, can you have me on the pod? Like, I will tell you, things are different now. Things are quite a bit different now for me. There's a lot more potential no's in there.
Yeah, but I got to schedule my hangs with Welsh. Right now I'm like, hey, do you want to talk on the phone for an hour on this day? It's like, I can't.
It's just been great. And
I gotta play one video game.
Well, we
chill and hang out.
Like, I remember the last time I played it, but that's always my thing too. I've kind of talked with, I'm like, oh my God, what's football season going to look like for me? You know, cause baseball is, I am full throttle, with what we do here with Prospect One. If people haven't paid attention, you know, I've been really working hard to be super consistent. Tim Kanak has been joining me. He's essentially the co-host. He is the co-host on the podcast right now. And that's been a big reason for it. And then obviously everything in Fantasy Pros, it takes a lot of time. I am massively consumed with baseball. We had this moment, you know me, you know, like everybody else is still sometimes learn some of the quirks about me. You've known the quirks because you've known me for years, but like, something will just get in my head. And like Joe and I were talking about something and someone brought in like they said cutlet. And Joe was like, oh yeah, I had a cutlet this morning, blah, blah. And I was like, that was a cutlet. You know, and I'll just ask those things. And then everyone freaks out and stuff like that. And then finally I did it again. I think we were talking about a filet and I'm like, isn't a filet like how they cook something, blah, blah. And then I just go, hey,
are you going to get into different cuts of meat? Like you were into whiskey a couple of years ago or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Collecting. I don't think it has as much value, but
yeah, probably.
I then stop and I go, listen, I'm asking the questions that I think some people are asking, but also I'm just all baseball. Like that is my life. My life is baseball. It's sports. And so sometimes like, I'll just have this moment where I'm hearing something, even if I know it and I'm like, wait, what? And I'll ask stupid questions. I ask stupid questions sometimes. That's what I do.
Don't ever apologize for being curious. I'll say that. Don't ever apologize for being
fillets and cutlets and all that type of stuff.
Absolutely.
But Bogman, like, don't ever apologize for being curious. Out, like, but well, you are stupid
you questions,
for not knowing.
Man. Yeah. I mean, listen, the question's stupid, but you're not stupid for asking it. Okay. You know, I'm the opposite of Mr. Garrison. Mr. Garrison says there are no stupid questions, Wendy. There's only stupid people that ask questions. All right, children, take your seats. It's the opposite. It's, maybe you're dumb for asking the question, but ask the question if you don't know it. Information's always better than no information. So So
I saw somebody post just the other day that like everybody loves doing this. Now they're like, here's AI's version of what South Park would look like with real people. And it was just like terrifying. The Mr. Garrison one looked awful. It was just, I'm glad they didn't.
The Simpsons one is from
Nightmare. No, that's, I know that the Simpsons one is like the OG of it, but they did a South Park one. And I'm like, I'm glad no one did the AI real version of Mr. Hankey on there or something like that. there's not many great players to do that with. So we got Jeff Erickson coming up here in a little bit. We're going to be talking about, we got some player debates. We're going to be talking about value changes. Kind of a big thing too. You know, we sit on here and a lot of the time talk to you about like, yeah, don't worry. Hold, you know, this guy that blah, blah, blah. Well, let's see what Jeff has to say, because we are floating into the territory where there's only so much everybody is going to be comfortable holding, but you know, let's see what Jeff has to say. And yes, we're going to talk about Paul Skeens, which we'll do here in just 1 second. Come and check us out over at inthisleague.com on the Patreon. My plan tonight is to get the update set for Friday so we can have I kind of wanted to span it out over the week, but as you heard me complaining and bitching in just a couple minutes ago, it's been a crazy week. A lot of stuff behind the scenes as well that I'm going to try to get it all dropped here on Friday. The rest of season redrafts. We're going to have the dynasty and the prospects. You can get in the group me rooms. You want to hang out. Actually going to be doing a card break, I think next week. Hopefully I got to like set it up. So it might be like the week after, but a big old Bowman thing that just came out. And one of my favorite things, I think I told you about this last year. We did one. It's called a Pop Century, but it's like celebrity autographs. Do you remember when I did that break and we had the John Lithgow?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I had a Elizabeth Olsen, like one of one plate autograph in those. I think those are so much fun. And they're so
ridiculous. Did you ever post the video of me opening up my Star Wars birthday gift that you sent me? And it was like a stunt double or something.
Oh, the God, autograph card. Didn't you do it on a stream?
No, I think I was going to, but the thing didn't get. Remember, they had my package, but told me it wasn't there. So I had to go back and get it.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. I bought Bogman for Christmas. It was this like Star Wars black. And it comes with this one encased autograph. And it shows all these awesome people. And I'm like, man, let's get something cool. And he got like the war, like, I don't know, some 12-year-old extra on a show that appeared in the background.
She played like Princess Leia's stunt double from Obi-Wan, who was a small child. So yeah, it was very strange. So
wait, no, wasn't it the, oh yeah, yeah. It was the, wasn't it the little girl who played Leia?
Yeah,
it wasn't the little girl
that played Princess Leia. Oh, it was
even worse
from the very first scene in when you see Princess Leia, you know, you see her mom go in and it's a girl wearing all of her stuff and she turns it around and it's not Princess Leia. It's that girl.
That's the worst card you could have ever gotten.
It, you know what? It is. It's pretty cool because it's the worst. I mean, it's a good story. It's a much better story. If I had pulled some, you know, whatever, Chewbacca, whatever, that's cool.
That would have been amazing.
I mean, it would have been a better card, but the story wouldn't have been as good. So it's a better story.
F the story. I mean, give me Harrison Ford or give me Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. Give me one of those. That'd be awesome. So yeah, that didn't work out, but I'm going to do a break on the Patreon, YouTube or Twitch or whatever it'll be, but we'll do the celebrity one and the Bowman's. All I'm saying all of this, by the way, is you can be a part of those. If you're in our group me rooms, that's where we fill them and people can join them and stuff like that. So inthisleague.com on the Patreon, inthisleague.com. Love to have you come on down. Saturday is the day. The only news that anybody cares about, it is Paul Skeens time. And I have done plenty. I've done all my dumb victory lapping. I'm going to even do it, I guess, at the front of the episode with.
I only saw your post about getting the right date on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, APBB, you know,
Rumble,
Tinder. You know, I saw it everywhere you possibly could have social media. So, you know.
What's that one that Truth Social? That's the one that everybody's into right now. is anyone into that? I don't even know. Man, I'm on so none good. Of them. Like, you know what kills me? Not to keep going tangent, but like everyone, you'll see that post where they're like, hey, just in case the S hits the fan with Twitter, follow me on my Threads. And it's like, it's not going anywhere. Like nobody's on those I don't know what any of those are. I'm not on any of them. I don't know what Truth Social is or Sky Blue or whatever the hell they're called, any of them. I'm on none of them.
What about JetBlue? What about Alaska Airlines?
Blue Sky, the drink. You remember those?
Oh, yeah. That's a vodka.
Trader Joe's, right? Drinks? No, it was like little sodas.
Maybe I don't know.
Like cream sodas and stuff like that. Okay. Blue Sky?
Not a cream soda guy.
I think they have like other, they don't have a Coca-Cola flavor. So I think that's the problem. Blue Sky drink? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Or am I thinking, is it called something else?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Blue Sky drink?
Oh, Blue Sky is a cocktail. So what's the soda?
That's vodka, isn't it? Blue Sky?
Is it Sky Blue soda?
It's Sky More. No,
here it is. Blue Sky Soda. They do have a Coca-Cola one. You want to see it?
Okay.
They look awful, but see, Blue Sky. You remember those? These cans don't look like the cans.
Dude, I don't remember those at all. Not even a little. Where did you find these?
These like Trader Joe's.
Come on. What am I doing?
I mean, I have like, you know, my mom. Be like, hey,
yeah.
Found some echinacea and some some Hogwarts and some Blue Sky or whatever the hell it's called. You know how I grew up.
Dementia. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know how I grew up. Okay. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you're super annoying. I called the date. Big effing deal. I get it. I'm right. Yes, I called it 2 weeks ago. A lot of the theme of this episode.
Brag. You got it right. Brag.
Okay. You should. Getting ahead of it. That's fine. That's good. All I care in the bragging about it is the people that are like, hey, I thought you said this guy was going to come up, and they didn't come up. And it's like, okay, well, I got this one. I absolutely nailed this one. Good for me. Now let's see how it works out. Because there's plenty of, you know, me being like, hey, cool, I got it right, and then the guys stink. Defending I did about Jackson Holiday. What a stupid ass idiot I sound like in all of those. Any player is better than him at this point. Kyle Manzardo's kind of stinking up, but Paul Skenes is in a very unique situation because he has not had his pitch count completely built up. He's going to go against a Cubs team, which in theory doesn't strike out like an incredible degree, but they have definitely had some big, I mean, Cease dropped them for like 12 the other day. Skenes got a pretty good opportunity at home to light up some strikeouts here. But my worry is, and as we'll mention with Jeff and them, I just don't know how intense it's going to go. I think he's going to have big strikeout numbers. I don't know. I don't think he's going to have big innings. I predicted on Fantasy Pros. Here's my line. And I don't think I asked. Did I ask you with Jeff about the line? Okay.
No.
So my predicted line is 4 innings, 8 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, and 2 walks. Give me your predicted line for Skenes.
I'm going to go 5 innings, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, 3 hits. I think he has a really good kind of limited start.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the general range. As I'll say again, my worry is they are not quick, efficient, like inning outs. You know, you might drive up counts. You might get 3-2 counts. You might get some guys hit.
Who is it on
hit.
Saturday?
Playing? It's against the Cubs. It's against the Cubs. Oh, so there's some good contact there. Nico Horner, Cody Bellinger. There are some also strikeout guys. I just think he's going to get some good strikeouts. I think he'll be good. What I will tell you is we are going to have.
Scott is the opposing pitcher. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good match. It's going to be a good matchup. We are going to have plenty of discussion here in a little bit with Jeff about the tradability and the sustainability and stuff like that. So I don't want to like re-kill it at the top and then you guys have to re-listen to it. But it's cool. And this is like the big one. We truly only have 2 more big prospect bullets in the chamber that's left. And so now I'm going to transition this a tiny bit. My prospect article is out. If you guys want to check it out, Prospects to Stash. There's also an accompanying video that we did from leading off that it's its own video. It should be up in the next 24 hours, fantasypros.com/ youtube.com/fantasypros MLB. And as I kind of say, there's only 2 left that are really worth the argument, this argument we continuously have, are prospects worth it to stash? There's only 2. It's Junior Caminero and James Wood. Those are the 2 that are going to get excitement in the world. And I got to be honest with you, I really only think Caminero can rival, He won't even rival Paul Skeens, but it'll come close. That's the one that's there. James Wood is going to be fun, but it doesn't have the excitement. Kobe Mayo is going to be fun, won't have the excitement. Aurelvis Martinez, a small group of people are like, you know, they're doing the thing where it's like, screw these big popular ones. I want Aurelvis. Like that's the excitement. Then after that, it's all weird speculation. So Paul Skeens is like the one everyone's been waiting for. And there's a lot of expectations. And it's kind of dangerous when you build in those crazy expectations, because then if he doesn't go five, people are like, what the hell's going on? What if he gives up four earned runs and strikes out four in five innings? You know, like those are the weird things. I'm fascinated to see how the fastball works with the fastball shape against major league hitters. I think he's going to blow some pitches by. Maybe he'll pull a Mason Miller, but I feel I'm a little bit more tempered than the rest of the people. What? I'm just excited that like it's called up and whoever got him if you want him.
What's the innings cap look like in your opinion?
On the year?
Yeah. He talk his way out of this? Because this is a thing, you know, you'll hear me say it with Jeff. I think he's kind of a Hardo, Madison Bumgarner type, like I need to throw as much as I want kind of guy. Like if you're getting smashed, you're getting smashed. But I think he's going to be really mad if he's pitching well, especially in his debut, and they yank him early, which,
but,
you know,
I think you're going to temper that, though, because they're going to just say this is what your innings cap is. Like, I think he's going to sit in the 80s for his neck for his first couple starts. And then you'll push into the 90. I mean, I could be wrong, by the way. Like, maybe they'll feel once you've gotten to 75, we can easily just let you go to 90.
And you're talking pitch count, of course.
I'm talking pitch count. Okay. And that's kind of like my tempered expectation of some of the value. And then it'll start to poke back up. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got into the hundreds at some point. But I think they're going to play babying. So back to your point, the innings have been...
You think it's more like, it's the innings cap, that's it? Or is it going to be the, you know... skip a start to save the innings for later.
Oh, they might do that. He has 27 innings this year. I would assume, and he had a massive workload in college. I'm going to guess they'll push him into the 130s range. So I think there's legitimately 100 innings left for the rest of the season. Now, how does that calculate? Probably not the full season. Probably like go sit him down a week before the All-Star game and then give him 2 weeks off and have him throw a couple like low inning. Like I think they could this is another Yuri Perez situation, except
that's five innings per start for 20 starts. That's what we're looking at. If it's 100 more innings, you know what I mean?
I think that's what it is. I think you're going to see maybe even more of a stricter cap on five, maybe six innings max, as long as the pitch count is down. And so you have to work within those constraints. So we will talk about the hype that exists and the tradability, but this will be a much must watch situation for sure. I'm going to be locked into it as you all are. And this is the big one. You guys want to check out the prospect segment, go do that. The article as well. And like I said, Wood and Caminero are the two that I would be in stash range. There's an interesting thing that came out. Caminero's rookie of the year odds changed on one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league,
break it down,
which maybe there's some insider, like, you know, we're getting close, but you know, do you want to stash Mayo if you can do that? Do you want to stash Aurelvis if you can? And then you're getting down this list of like, we're gonna have to start seeing some crazy stuff happen, like a Spencer Jones make a big jump, because we are getting prospect lists as far as what's really worth getting ahead of, and that's part of that conversation. Other stuff around baseball before we go and talk. Did you see that freaking piss missile by Giancarlo Stanton? Dude, that was the dumbest looking hit like I've ever seen.
Over 400 feet, and it was down the line. Like, down the line, 400 feet. That's where you get your 350-foot homers.
Have you ever really hit a wiffle ball? Like you just get the... like, that's what it looked... It looked like he was hitting a wiffle ball, but it had no, like...
Looked
no,
like when Mike Trout hit the golf ball, you know,
yes,
that's what one. It looked like. It
yeah. At the top. Golf.
And that was for Stanton. You know, Darvish did the same thing like 2 or 3 weeks ago where he hit the hardest, in StatCast for the year. And then that was for around for a day. His second one was the second hardest. And Stanton did the same thing as 118.8 the day before, and then 119.9 on that homer. It's just crazy.
He's this still one was hitting 119.9.
Crappy average. But
it's like 120 this one was. He's Stanton's so bad, though. It's crazy. Like, he has no sense of stuff anymore. And I know I'm saying this after he hit, like, the hardest hit ball of the year. But, like, he just swings at sliders and breaking stuff. It's just, if he is on the pitch, which is rare, if he is on, it's like getting a perfect on MLB The Show. You hit the square button. Yeah. Like, that's what it, like, it is hitting a home run derby in Coors with Giancarlo Stanton. He still can absolutely destroy the ball. He's just going to always hit, like, 240. Like, he's just not a great player, but he's exciting to watch. That was, that still gets me going. Seeing balls
of course,
but yeah. I, you know what I immediately do? I start thinking, I was like, I wonder if someone got hurt. Like, that ball coming out, like, how did anyone react to that? Did that hit anybody?
In the crowd? I don't think it did. I think it hit off a wall or a chair.
We probably would have known.
Don't worry, that lady stopped it with her face. It's fine.
Exactly. Well, some stopped it with their arm. Wilson Contreras, fractured wrist. JD Martinez, so much little victim shaming here with Wilson Contreras, because everyone's like, look at how far out his hand is. He does present his arm pretty close to the bat, and there's like a history of how far he puts out, but he just absolutely got smashed by the bat and fractured wrist.
I was talking to our boy Chris Young, who is a Cardinals fan, and he said that the Cardinals had told Contreras to scoot up closer to the plate too, and you have all of the, you know, the hitters are scooting back because the velocity is crazy right now. So yeah, just a bad situation, and it really sucks for Contreras. And yeah, I mean, Contreras is like the best hitter in their lineup too. So
yeah. And Ivan Herrera would be absolutely someone I'm pivoting to. So I'm in the,
I got him in two of those DCs, by the way. Ivan
Herrera. Very nice. That's a great, and it's a great pivot for, I wish I had, you know, personally drafted more, especially because I was so low catcher. Which is so weird. I was like anti. Oh, that's so weird. By the way, just so funny. I had to interrupt myself. Somehow my text, I had like a text up over here. It's still happening. Look at this. It's like one of those things. As I'm talking, the text is like filling it in. And I looked over and the entire conversation is filling into this text of somebody. Dude, and how do I stop it?
You just hit back. But the first time that ever happened to me, I was driving and someone cut me off. And it kept picking me up and it started beeping out my cuss words, like with little stars. And I was like, you stupid mother, whatever, you know. And then I look at the phone and it has like four words like that, that are like edited out. That was hilarious.
Sorry, I got completely distracted. Yeah, no. I've never seen that. But I turned over and I saw my text like typing and I'm like, what is going on right now? Luckily, I was just talking about Ivan Herrera. So be careful about that. But yeah, I wait, because I was so low catcher. I wish I had more shares of Ivan Herrera, but I just didn't. Kyle Bradish, 9 strikeouts on Wednesday. Bring him back up. He is absolutely someone I'd be trying to buy back into if there's any possibility of it in trades and stuff like that. I think he's trending in a really great direction.
It makes me feel like something bad's about to happen. Like, it's been almost too good. He's two starts. He's been so good. Coming back
too,
like,
healthy
for real, too healthy, Lois. Yeah, too healthy. A little bit good. But yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, he has been. Taj Bradley activated from the IL. He's going to start on Friday. He a pretty good minor league run. If he is available out there, yes, pick up. And don't ask me Taj Bradley or Paul Skeens, because long term it might be Taj Bradley.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
What? I'm just saying, he might last a little bit longer. I just don't know if he's gonna come out.
Who am I talking to?
I like. Right now? Listen,
I know you like Taj during the preseason as well. So did I. I have all the shares of Taj. But come on, it's Paul Skeens.
if Skeens comes out and throws strikes, the one thing he did in college absolutely would pound the zone. But part of the reason you pound the zone is because you can't, these kids can't catch up to you throwing 101, 102. And you're in AAA and you just have all these like, guys, no one can catch up to it. You launch,
where
you know,
all do
a little
you have
slider.
Skeens?
What's that?
Where all do you have Skeens?
I have him in Skyway Dynasty. I've got him in one or two drafts. I think. I don't think I have him in an ITL stuff. No.
All right. I was going to say, because I have Taj Bradley in all of them. So maybe
we can do that. I'm not in Dynasty. This is not Dynasty stuff. This is this year. I think Skeens
Champs League in the home league.
I think Skeens is massively talented, and I am a big buy. If he struggles some, I'm going to buy him from the dynasty perspective. But what I guess I'm getting at is, like, how well will the fastball play when you're going up against the best in the world? Juan Soto, you're trying to throw him 101 up high, and he's batting it off. And then finally, you know, you're trying to throw a slider, and it gets out of the zone. Like, I'm just, those are the things that are going through my head. I'm like, is he going to come out and be the greatest pitcher in the world like everybody expects? I don't know. I'm not saying Taj Bradley will, but I'd pick up Taj Bradley is all I'm getting at. Christian Yelich, activated from the IL. Tyler Black, see ya. Bye-bye. Doesn't matter if you're hitting three. Pat Murphy is fascinating to me. I love Jackson Chourila. He's my leadoff. You now hit nine. Tyler Black, first game you do well, you hit three, now you're gone. Like it's
pronounced infuriating, by the way.
What did I say?
Fascinating.
What did I say?
For Pat Murphy.
I said fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
There it is. Yeah.
Remember baseball. I only do baseball. That's the thing. Nothing else is computing lately. But yeah, Tyler Black, unfortunately, you're going to have to kind of probably dump. Keep an eye out for any injuries or any offensive struggles. He'll be the next guy back up. And
right.
We do
He'll
know
get
that.
Another opportunity. He'll be back.
And we know that Murphy liked him enough that they would hit him 3-4. So I think that's something to really also sit on. For the near future, probably doesn't come back and does that, but maybe five or six if he comes back up. So he'd be back on a watch list. Bellinger was activated. I think hit a bomb in his first game, and Seiya Suzuki is starting a rehab assignment. He did on Tuesday. So he should be back maybe even this weekend, which is great for that Cubs lineup. Hopefully not on Saturday for Paul Skeens matchup, because that's one more person who will not swing at anything outside the zone and will not be striking out. Justin Steele, Jake Berger, Paul Sewald, Friedel, Montas, and Victor Robles all activated from the IL. I think we saw Sewald get his first save today, and Justin Steele was pretty good in that first start.
Yeah, your best friend. You texted him.
A good friend.
Yeah,
I didn't. I should
talk about it.
No, yeah. I mean, he's doing the podcast with Barstool now, and I was like, I was trying to connect it all, and I was like, oh yeah, because Barstool has a place in Chicago, and he's there, so that's how he's able to do that. So I don't know, you know, let him live his life, you know, have a little bit of freedom, not bug him, anything like that. You know, I'm no Marty Mush, so what can I say? But we'll keep going. Brandon Lau, Pete Fairbanks, Austin Hayes, Tyler McGill, Matt Carpenter, all on rehab assignments. The only one there that really matters is Pete Fairbanks. Though Austin Hayes will be interesting because that may spell the end of Heston Kerstad when he gets called back up. So Norfolk is about to get way more powerful with Heston and Jackson Holiday back and all that stuff. Blake Snell scheduled to make a rehab assignment on Monday in San Jose. Are you optimistic? Blake Snell had one of the worst year over year returns in, you know, his small sample size this year. Like K percentage was down. All his stuff looked bad. Underlying stuff bad. Do you think he's going to come back and get back to original Snell? Or are we going to see this altered version?
No, I think he'll be closer to original Snell. I think this is all based on what happened with this contract and not getting into full spring training and not going through your full normal routine that you would normally do. I think some guys have made it. Jordan Montgomery looks fine, but Snell doesn't. So it's hit or miss on how much those type of things are going to affect you. And I think Snell is going to be fine. I'm not worried about him.
Oh, I just saw this one. Here's a piece of news. Ooh, piece of candy. Robert Gasser is getting a call up for the Milwaukee Brewers on Friday. That is something to get a little bit excited about. He was one of those guys that some of us had speculated when Corbin Burnes was traded that Gasser might be given an opportunity to start. So far this year, I believe he's pitching in the PCL because his numbers are kind of stinky. A 5.25 ERA, 17 strikeouts in 12 innings. No, it's International League. But Gasser is kind of a big power lefty. I don't know who the Brewers play tomorrow. Who are they playing today? They're playing the Cardinals. I might pick up Gasser to see if he sticks around. I don't know if I start him in that first one. Just a little piece I'm going to throw out to people. He has a chance to stick around in the rotation, but it's been a little bit dicey so far. So maybe pick him up, but don't put him as a starter and just see how it goes. Other news. Jorge Soler, IL. CES, IL. Which, if you had to cut one, would you cut?
CES.
Yep.
Bye-bye. I mean, Soler. It stinks that Soler's going in the shoulder too. It's not a good sign, but Soler's much more valuable, I think, right now anyway. So yeah,
shoulder strain though.
It's not great. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like it's not a good injury, but I still would rather have Soler.
Dane Dunning was placed on the IL with a shoulder issue. Edward Cabrera placed on the IL. Braxton Garrett was activated, and I believe Jesus Luzardo is trending in the right direction. A lot of trade stuff. You got to imagine both Garrett and Luzardo might be guys that get traded really quickly before any more injuries. They probably have to rattle off a couple starts, but both could be on the move. JP France, shoulder injury. Who cares? Joe Boyle placed on the IL. And Brandon Wu being activated and looks like I believe he's pitching on Friday. So that's positive news there. And we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. But boy, some early beat ups here on Thursday on this short slate. Keaton Wynn, remember all that Keaton Wynn talk we had on here? Two straight starts of trash.
He's in
Logan Gilbert. Just.
Yeah. Those Gilbert got smacked today. Yeah.
Those are the sound of them things going just jiggling all around, and me getting one start out of positive and my negative.
Who was it that loves it when you say that? One of the voicemail guys.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
That was a good one. That was a good original no thought. Them things were jiggling.
Things were jiggling, friendos. All right, let's start jiggling all those things, and let's get to our buddy Jeff Erickson. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. He loves that intro. And we're going to talk about all the stuff and things, Skeens, some interesting players and some pickups. So we'll do it right after this.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Joining us on the show now is one of our very good friends, the poker maestro, and just actually one of the most pleasant people to be around during the first pitch conference and anytime podcast route. It's Jeff Erickson, Jeff_Erickson on the X, senior editor over at RotoWire, and just one of our favorite people. Jeff, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. It's good to check in. It's been a while. I was happy that we didn't get paired against each other for once in the podcast champion contest that we have every March from baseball pods and all that. Hey, got that going for us.
I forgot about that. This was a year of me completely detached from all of that with everything that I had personally going on and changing and stuff like that. But I forgot we had the 3 years straight RotoWire versus one of the ITL entities going on.
And 1 year, two of them, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
The that's first exactly. year, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't we have one? Because I think it was one of the years RotoWire trounced two straight years, all of the ITL stuff. And then didn't we have that 1 year where it was either you or my Prospect One show won by literally one vote?
It was like the late Chads were counted and all that too.
Yeah. And it was either your show or my, I don't know what it was.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
We don't have that in the baseball pods, right? You know what? I just remembered too, out of nowhere, because I completely forgot about this. And I talked to Jeff for the last couple of days too. Hi, I'm Scott. Nice to meet you,
yes,
Jeff.
Yes. It's
good to see you. I totally forgot about that until this second. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah. But yeah, we've known each other for a long time now.
Exactly.
Been in the industry for a while, and happy to have Jeff on. It's going to be a good time. And our teams are playing each other right now, which is it's added fun for us anyway.
Yeah, so, I imagine.
You know,
I've told. I love busting Jeff's balls about that. It's funny, but like, I totally feel it. And the story behind that was like the multiple years of Jeff, like reintroducing himself to Boggs, but he
introduced to 1,000 people that weekend.
But I feel for it because I've told the story and I don't think I've told it in a little while. So it's not as droney. I'm not like Rogan talking about, you know, like every single elk week meat. About, yeah, like, yeah, shooting elk or whatever, is that Fangraphs meetup that I was at where I introduced myself to Brad Johnson. And then literally 5 minutes later, I reintroduced myself to Brad and he's like, we just met. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it was one of the single dumbest things ever. Cause we were over in a little corner introduced. Oh yeah. Nice to meet you. Blah, blah, and then
that was in that loud place, right?
Yeah. It's actually
you were having a weird day. I remember that because I was like, I was talking to you and you're like, well, you're mumbling. And I was like, Chris, you are the first person in my life to accuse me of mumbling ever. What are you talking about?
I was off. That place is now the Barstool purchased that place. It's Barstool Scottsdale. That's what it is now. I don't remember what it was at the time, but it was a Fangraphs meetup. But yeah, we can only give Jeff so much crap about that because, you know, 5 minutes and I forgot.
I will say there's a lot of times in Arizona I'm running on fumes. You mentioned the poker, staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning and all that. Usually I'm driving in 6 hours beforehand before the conference starts and all that.
God, so. You drive in too?
Because I like the flexibility. I like having my car there.
Where are you driving out of?
Pasadena area.
Oh, okay. Cause sometimes I get confused because so many of the guys at RotoWire have been in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt,
that I just not fairly put all of you. In Wisconsin.
No, I've never lived in Wisconsin, actually. So the story is we started the company in Chicago back in 1997, got bought out in 1999 to a company called Broadband Sports. They're Enron.com. So they died in 2001. But nonetheless, when they bought us, we moved out to LA, Santa Monica area. They had this like super expensive real estate office and all that. When people went
to work.
Yeah, exactly. And then in 2001, when they died, we reestablished. We went from Roto News to RotoWire and stayed in Culver City. And then a couple of years later, Peter Shankey, Herbil, a couple of the other founders of the company, they and their respective wives decided it's time to start a family, wanted to be closer to their families. Meanwhile, my wife's from out here and her family's from out here. So I just stayed behind when the company moved. So I've worked out of the house now for about 20 years.
That's crazy.
You're the lonely Californian left behind.
Yes, sir.
I like it. It sounds like a Western.
Yeah. It's a good company. And you just know, you can just say it right there. It's a good company for you to be able to work at home in California. I would kill to live in California, but I would literally have to kill to live in California.
It's not cheap. It is not cheap.
Exactly right. So they went and that office then went to Wisconsin, correct?
Yep. And so we've had an office in Madison since like 2005, 2000, somewhere around that range. It's been great. We've had all these people that we brought in from the school as interns turned into employees, guys like Derek Van Riper, Nick Whalen, my co-host now on the show, James Anderson, who everybody knows. They're all Madison hires. You know, I think James actually didn't go to Madison, UW-Madison, but, you know, he's from the area. Clay Link, we got through there.
McKechnie, right?
McKechnie went to Georgia. McKechnie's story is interesting because he just said, I want to work for this company. I'm willing to relocate to Madison there. It's just so I could work for you. And
I remember the first time I had him on, he's like, yeah, I'm about to go play basketball with James and a bunch of the other guys. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. You guys are like in an office. He was like, yeah. I was like, this is amazing. I had no idea.
What's so funny about that too, is like back then that's very normal. Now it would be so weird. I mean, you know, working at Fantasy Pros, literally in Arizona, there's me and one other person that are in Arizona. We're spread out throughout the world. And that's how all of these internet, you know, I mean, we're essentially like tech companies, all of us.
And we're kind of dispersing ourselves too. Ever since COVID, obviously, you know, things like the whole world's decided we can work from home. And I was like, yeah, I've been doing this for a while now.
That's why it's a little bit different. That's why you would have a different, like, whoa, you guys are together. Cause it wouldn't be like, whoa, that's cool. It'd be like, oh, you guys are like going to a place. Like that's crazy.
My wife works at the city of Los Angeles and she works from home 3 days a week. And it's like that's a big change, but it's great for her. She doesn't have to do the commute.
All these people listening, they're just like, you scumbags. I'm driving 55 miles to work right now listening to you guys are getting all mad at us and stuff like that. I feel it. I feel it. I did that. I had 2.5 hours.
Well, that's driving. Why we're coffee hunting to make their drive go shorter. So that's
yeah, that's we're doing right. And we're going to talk about some stuff all around baseball right now. We got some really good player debates. A couple of guys that are on top of mind, you know, the overperformers, underperformers. One guy I'm actually really excited to talk about from the hitting perspective to get your take on. But Mr. Jeff Erickson, let's start with the biggest news around the fantasy land right now. It is Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is going to be making his debut on the 11th. Bogman, I was talking about this for 2 weeks, and we were able to nail that date, which is very exciting. Nice. Skeens, 75 pitches, 2 starts ago. Didn't get over 80 in the last one because he got scuffled a little bit. He gave up his first homer in the minors. He went 4 2/3, pitched around 60. Then the team was kind of like, you know, we're going to have him start again. And then, nope, we get the official start, which is why I always thought this would happen because he'd be at home. He gets to pitch at home, which the team is going to want. And I think there's a lot of things surrounded around Paul Skeens right now. So first, just get your take on the rookie pitcher with maybe what some of your expectations are for Paul Skeens.
Yeah, high velocity guy, obviously. I think everybody in this planet has made the comparison between Skeens and Stephen Strasburg. So I'll just go ahead and be one more on top of that there. You know, similar circumstances, just blew through college ball, barely got any professional innings, big hyped debut. People don't realize that Strasburg went 7 in his debut and struck out 14. I don't think we'll see that out of Skeens, just I think he'll be on a pitch count. I think he'll be probably limited to like 75, 80 pitches. I just like what I've seen so far in terms of just the level of prospect, just the level of dominance he's had. It's so funny. Today has been Paul Skeens day for me. I've talked to Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the SiriusXM show. I had Travis Sawchick on our podcast this morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
And then I did a radio spot with my guy, Tim Benz, who I always do every Thursday with. So it's a lot of Paul. Today's Paul Skeens day.
Yeah, it is. No, and as we're recording this, this is Paul Skeens day because this has been the anticipation. I do want to talk about like the overarching aspect of rookies in this as well, but this has been the guy. This has been the big one. Everyone thought he would break camp. Only so many rookies were actually drafted on teams. A little bit different when you talk about like the 50 team draft and holds and stuff like that. Right. But of the handful of prospects, this is the only pitcher really that was a true rookie that had not made their debut that people were drafting. You had to end up eating, you know, around 5-ish weeks and he's going to come up. So let's ask this question because this popped up in the live show I do on Fantasy Pros today where someone was like, this is the best time to trade Paul Skeens because the value's at the tippy top. But then you counter it with a really interesting thing, at least I thought that Scott White brought up was saying that he thinks that Paul Skeens right now is probably his SP25 or is in the SP25 range at this moment. And I think from a stuff perspective, you kind of do that. So this is where that marriage comes in. A, can he be a sustainable top 25 or top 30 starting pitcher rest of season, maybe in the Jared Jonesy type of vein? Versus if he can't, is this the ultimate time before that debut happens? You have a 48-hour window to get out from under Paul Skeens and trade him really high. Like, what side are you willing to make the bet on? Move or that he is going to be a top 25 SP?
I think it's not either or. It could be both move and top 25. I mean, in my podcast this morning, we have a live stream. Someone said they got Corbin Burns for Paul Skeens.
Jesus. Well, so we had one about Matt Olson. Someone was like, would you trade their Paul Skeens to get Matt Olson? And we're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. And slumping Matt Olson. I mean, sure, of course. Absolutely. So it can both things can be true, right? But I think Scott's right. I think he's around 25, 30. I mean, keep in mind the mind-blowing attrition we've had among starting pitchers, both in terms of injury and performance. And sure, I can get behind that. That roughly puts him as like a 6-round player and a 15-teamer. Yeah, I could see it.
Boggs, let me ask you this. Who would you rather have rest of season at this moment? Paul Skeens or Jared Jones?
Oh, man. That's such a good question. I know they're going to baby them both. Skeens. It has to be Skeens. And I like Jared Jones a lot. I think he's great. He's having an awesome season. I just think Skeens is going to be the man pretty quick here. So he reminds, like, his attitude kind of, he seems like a righty Madison Bumgarner to me a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, angry. We like that. Kind of a bad attitude sometimes. Doesn't like being taken out of a game. Probably isn't going to like when players celebrate. He seems kind of like that type of guy.
Like
an old school type of dude. So I think he's going to want to throw a bunch of innings, and I don't think he's going to be really quiet about it.
Jeff, what do you think? Jared Jones or Paul Skeens?
I'm going to be contrarian. I'll say Jones a little bit just because I think he's accumulated more innings. 133 professional innings, 126, excuse me. Math is hard. 126 professional innings last year. I think that he can go up to 150. I know Skeens threw a ton in college. I don't think that's the same animal, though. I think that they'll be treating him a little bit more with kid gloves, just watching how they treated him in the minors. I think that you're going to see a lot of 75 pitch outings. I think Jones is going to go a little farther. I think they've kind of taken some of the gloves off of Jones. 96 pitches in his last outing, 7 innings, 83 and 91 respectively before the, you know, after the, before that, after the infamous 59 pitch game against the Mets, which was the most ridiculous pull I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, they said behind that was because he had 4 days rest. He had never had a start off of 4 days to five. So that was why they did it. Still ridiculously stupid, but they said he was going five. So I, without hesitation, this question was asked to me from PZP on Leading Off. I, without hesitation, said Jared Jones. And it's not that long-term dynasty wise, do I believe that Jared Jones will be handedly better than Paul Skeens. But what I do believe is Jared Jones is better suited for this season. You guys have already kind of hit some of the really interesting points. I'm not sure they have babied this pitch count process. They're very cognizant of building him up. So I do not believe he's going to get to five innings in this first start. I also, part of the problem, he's a power pitcher. It's a power strikeout pitcher. There's a little bit less finesse in it. And I think his power, and amazing as that fastball is, I think it's a little bit easier to read than a guy like Jared Jones. That's where Stuff Plus comes into play. Paul Skeens, there were a lot of stuff made about the shape of his fastball. And a lot of that is how it's coming out, how guys are reading it. And that's...